Well, it's a wonderful day to get into the Word. And today we're going to be studying the subject of strength and weakness, getting through it. That'd be fun to go into God's Word and to see what God has to say about dealing with these feeble old bodies of ours. But before we do that, I know you've got something to say to me. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. And in Spanish, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. My kids always remind me when I forget to raise my finger on and. I know Catherine's doing those motions out there right now. The subject of strength and weakness is throughout the Word of God. There was a remarkable transition that took place with Christ. It was man's spirit that got him through his infirmities, his sicknesses in the Old Testament, and then it became Christ who took that place of getting man through weaknesses and infirmities. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to focus just a moment on what Paul went through. And I don't want you just to read the words. I want you to think about the time involved, the pressure involved, the pain involved, the consequences of these things he went through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. We know what that's like. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. That's the end of the actual chapter. Can you imagine the time that each of these incidents took? Maybe you have a different perception of Paul. Maybe you think that Paul just sat around writing the Bible. Maybe you think that he just sat around entertaining guests. Maybe you think that he just kind of floated through life, blessed, going, doing the sign of the cross in front of people, as the Romans teach us, and basically making everybody's life pain-free. Maybe you have a perception of Paul like that. Maybe you've elevated him to some type of sainthood, higher than yourself, more noble than you, thinking, oh man, I wish I had his life. I'm so miserable in mine. I've got so many things to deal with. Those guys had it made back then. Man, if I could just have a little bit of that. Well, I want to tell you, your perception's skewed if that's how you think Paul was. We could probably have a real nice research project by going through and imagining how much time it took to receive stripes above measure. That would be with the whip, okay? To spend frequent times in prison. To die often. To receive from the Jews 39 stripes 5 times. How long would it take to heal from that to where you could feel like moving again? How about beaten with rods 3 times? How about being stoned to death? How about being in 3 different shipwrecks? How long would that take? He's not sitting behind a desk then, is he? He's not having people over for dinner then, is he? How about a night and a day in the deep? Well, that's a night and a day. But he had to get there, then he had to recover from that. How about in journeys often, in perils of waters, in addition to what he's already said, of robbers, of countrymen, of heathens? These are people that just plagued him. They deliberately set out to hurt him. And it wasn't just one little guy popping up once in a while. It was like the whack-a-mole game. And they just kept popping up. They were just everywhere all the time. And it was groups of people. People that would swear that they would die before they would, that he would die before they would give up their oath to kill him. In perils in the wilderness, how long was he in the wilderness? It's plural. In the sea. My goodness. The shipwrecks, the storms. What about the false brethren? How much time was involved in all of that? You just have to wonder. In weariness, how many of you get weary? We all get weary. We all have to deal with this. My hope today is that I can relate God's word to you so that you can understand how to deal with what you go through. Because none of us are excepted from this. Painfulness. How many of you have pain? We all do. We're born into pain. Remember that teaching a long time ago? The drug stores cater to babies. Okay? We're all a bunch of babies. There's more shelves of pills in the stores than you could even imagine. And it starts at a very early age. I need an aspirin. They got Bear for babies, you know? Bear aspirin or whatever. Just amazing. In watchings often where you have to watch out for your own life, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. In addition to all that, he still was responsible for all the churches in the Christian church. Wow. That's just amazing to me. Paul did not have it made. Okay? Paul really had a miserable life in terms of all the stuff he had to deal with. It was absolutely wretched what he had to go through. If I said, if you had to receive 39 stripes with the whip just one time in your life, number one, you'd never forget it. And number two, you'd never want it to happen again. And if anybody ever walked by with the whip, you'd probably cringe. Well, just multiply that times 1,000. What Paul went through. And yet he received the greatest revelation for the church. Just amazing stuff. I do believe, and I wish it wasn't so, but I do believe that the more you move the word, the more you're going to have to deal with this stuff. And I feel like I can speak from experience on that, and I don't glory in it, trust me. But the more you're going to move the word, the more you're going to feel the brunt of the hate of the adversary. And that's just the way it is, because we're in a spiritual war. Now, if you don't want to deal with that stuff, don't go move the word. Okay? That's your loss. Because there is a gain out of that. And the gain is the power of Christ that rests upon you in those situations. Turn to Psalm 77. You know, Christians really can't be weak people. Oh, they're made out to be weak. The media makes them out to be a bunch of pansies. the religions that the medias go in and cover are just ridiculous. The stuff that they do in some of these buildings and all, but real Christians can't give in to the weakness. Real Christians are not weak people. And I say that because they have the power of Christ in them. That's why they're not weak. And they give that power of Christ a chance to manifest. Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night, and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. Oh, Jerry, you don't understand what I'm going through. I can see these words, and that's all well and good, but it doesn't say what I'm going through. I don't feel good. I feel miserable. My situation seems bleak and hopeless. I feel like I'll never, ever rise to the occasion. I feel like I'm not blessed, but even cursed. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night and ceased not. I do believe this is saying what you're going through. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. He couldn't sleep. Now he couldn't speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Oh, there was a day, back in the day, when it was good. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. I'm really trying to figure this thing out. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Wow. Wow. This guy was on the brink. Okay? Serious, serious problem here. And I said, this is my infirmity. And I would like you to understand that infirmity refers to the feebleness of mankind. All man goes through this. No exceptions. I was talking with Jeremy this morning, and I said, you know, the movies that we see teach us something to the contrary. We see all these super people. The guys that run for an hour and a half and never eat. And they're always so strong and they make it and they're healthy and there's just nothing, no sickness ever in their bodies. And they just go and go and go and they look like glamour. It's just amazing. And so you watch 300,000 or 400,000 movies like this and that's how you think life is supposed to be. But life is not like that. It's not real. These movie stars are just as sick as the next guy. You know, I've heard just recent reports, you know, Paul Newman, he's sick. Patrick Swayze, he's recovering from some kind of cancer. I mean, all these guys have sicknesses. They're all living a fake life. Well, if you believe what you see in the movies, you're going to think that you deserve that fake life. But mankind is feeble. And mankind needs Christ. Because Christ is the only true deliverance for the feebleness that mankind is forced to remain in. And this is something that we must believe. And so he said, this is my infirmity. I am feeble, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. You know, I'd love to raise my hand, like they do in all these buildings. I'd love to raise my hand and just somehow throw God's blessings or whatever they're trying to do on you and say, you're delivered like Jesus did. I'd love to be able to do that. And maybe someday I will. But I don't want you to get hung up on that. I want you to understand that the greatest deliverance comes from God's word itself. When you're in any dire situation, any peril, any famine, any nakedness, any sword, any type of infirmity whatsoever, the first thing that you must do is remember God's word. You must remember. And that's exactly what this man did. You are given the greatest keys, the greatest tools of deliverance in God's word, and you must use them as a Christian. Now, we're seeing the Old Testament example. I will meditate, verse 12, also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Meditate is deep thought. You can think, and then you can think deeply. Thy way, O God, and then talk of all thy doings. So then meditate leads to talking. So you can think, and then you can meditate, and then you can finally talk. It's not as bad as you think. Do you know that if you had somebody that could help you do this, you'd get out of whatever it is you're in much more quickly? Absolutely. If you sit in a corner and sulk because of your pains, your frustrations, your life's challenges, you're going to stay there a long time. But if you have somebody that you talk these situations with, then you can meditate on them and you can really start to grasp that, well, I think I'm not dying yet. I'm not on the brink yet. And then finally you can talk. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted somebody to talk to you because you felt so terrible and you couldn't even open your mouth? I have. Just didn't want to say, gums the word, you know. My tongue cleaved to the top of my mouth. It was as if it was one piece. There was no way I could say anything. Nothing. Then they'd talk to me and I grunt, you know. Like our cat does when I say no. Don't you jump on the table. No. And she stands over there and I kind of go. And I would grunt. And then grunt again, maybe. Come on now, you can say, answer me. Tell me what's wrong. And finally I go, well, I'd spit out some fragment of a sentence, you know. But eventually I'd start talking. You've all gone through that. That's progressive healing. And you must find that type of healing for you. You must put yourself in those situations. Don't be so proud to not talk. Don't be so proud to not think. And don't be so proud to not go to God's word. This is so important. And so we see the wonderful example there of God's word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. God's word always is the answer. I can't always raise my hand over you or do what the religions teach and make you think that that's how it's supposed to be. But I can direct you to God's word. I can minister to you. I can pray for you. I can do all the things that God says to do, and you can do that for others too. But I'm going to tell you something. You must understand that mankind is feeble. Mankind is plagued with infirmities. I don't care what the movies say. Point made. Once you come to grips with that, you can start gleaning the tools, the keys to deliverance right from God's word. And the very first one is go to the word. Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, his feebleness, but a wounded spirit who can bear? God has provided you with life. And one of the very natures of this life allows you to manage your feebleness. That's what infirmity means. That's just the way it works. You don't even have to understand it. But if you wanted to know how come you keep getting through all of these challenges, Paul made it through every one of those things. I don't know if you realize that. But you know something? So have you. You've made it through every one of your challenges. Every one of your sicknesses. You're not dead yet. You've made it through everything. You've made it through all your frustrations, your bankruptcies. Just kidding.
Gosh, I feel like I should be bankrupt.
No, just kidding. You've made it through everything. Really something. The nature of life is like a conveyor belt. If you're on it, you're still moving. It's good. It's good. We have a funny mind we have to deal with. Sometimes it's good to meditate on where you're at. Think about you. And that you really don't have it that bad. Now, you might have it bad, but you don't have it that bad. Okay? Translate that into German. No, just kidding. Oh, gosh. Don't we have fun? We live our lives and go through crazy, crazy things. And I think we build our own brick walls. We come up against this brick wall. Where was that? Where did that come from? Oh, my gosh. It wasn't there a step ago. And all of a sudden, whoa, that is tall. We build our own brick walls. And now we try to teach ourselves how to climb them. You know, if you're going to build a brick wall, put some handhold and footholds in it. Okay, so you can scale it at least. Don't just build one of these smooth-faced ones that only Spider-Man can get up. You know, the guy that doesn't eat. Okay. Jeremy and I covered Spider-Man today, too. We decided that, well, he was a superhero, so we can believe that he could do that. He doesn't have to eat. He doesn't have to do anything except go ahead and be spider-ish. And then he was telling me, well, who's the greatest superhero? And I says, well, of course, Spider-Man. No, I said, Batman. And he goes, no, Iron Man. I go, well, now, why is that? Well, because they haven't released that movie to the dollar movies yet. But if they're superheroes, then you're allowed to believe, and you do, that they could actually do this stuff. But, you know, Bruce Willis, he doesn't eat either, you know. Now his cop friend does. He eats Twinkies. These are amazing situations. It's a lot of fun, though. But you are on the conveyor belt of life because you have life within yourself, and it's designed to take care of you. Really fantastic. In verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. It will take him where he needs to go. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What we read in verse 16 is the manifestation of the prophecy of verse 17. So if you want to know what it means that himself took our infirmity, you have to read verse 16. If you want to understand what it means and bear our sicknesses, you have to read verse 16. Okay? Took is the word lambano. He received into manifestation. Wow. He received into manifestation our feebleness. That's the same word, feebleness. He was a man. He was a man. And bear our sicknesses. Bear is the word for carry or lift, like the conveyor belt. And sicknesses, those are the diseases and the maladies and such. And he carried them. Well, the spirit of man was what carried man before. And now it's the spirit of Christ that does that for us. So you have a strength within you, maybe you didn't realize. There was a transition. And it's called the transition of lordship. And I've done this with all of my kids. As soon as they started showing sparks of independence, I said, I want you to be independent. I want you to be free. But I want you to understand what you're really asking for. And what you're really asking for is that you don't want to answer to mom and dad anymore. You want to answer to Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm all for that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You see, there's a transition of lordship that takes place within a child. Well, there's a transition of lordship that was built into Christianity when you got born again. And it has to do with how your sicknesses are conveyed, carried, lifted now. If Christ didn't do this, you'd probably be dead. Because of the situations out there, the conflict that we're in. But Christ did do what he did, and he is doing what he does for you today. Just absolutely fantastic. And so this prophecy was fulfilled, and the manifestation of that were the physical healings that Jesus Christ did. He took total control of those things. Turn to Luke chapter 5. There are times when you feel totally desperate, as if there is no hope, there will be no end. Sometimes you just have to, like I told you guys several weeks ago, go run around the block just to prove you can do it. Joy called me up. I didn't know who it was at first. The message was, I didn't die. That's all Joy said, click. Because I said, go run around the block and tell me that you can do it, you know? You know, tell me that you didn't die, or tell me that everything was okay. You actually made it around the block. Because, you know, we start thinking, you know, we can't do anything anymore, and that's just nonsense. So, there are people that did that, and I've heard little stories. It's been really funny. But Joy's was probably the most interesting when she called up and said, I didn't die. Click. Well, you're not going to die. Sometimes you need to take the bull by the horns, so to speak. And when you're faced with the challenge, challenge it. Why not? Challenge it. Because you actually have a little bit more gumption in you than you give yourself credit for. You've got Christ in you. And Christ in you is more powerful than any power that could ever come up against you. Even a false brethren. Because there is no power in a false brethren that's greater than the power of Christ in you. And these are things you just have to accept. So challenge the challenger. It's a good thing. Make you feel real good. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. I hope I'm in the right verse. Yes. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And this is remarkable. And you'll see the same thing. I'll speak to it in a minute. Turn to chapter 7 and verse 21. In that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And what we see is the manifestation once again of the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet, how he took those things upon himself. And we see a new therapy being released to the world. Now, we have our speech therapist, we have our physical therapist, we have our occupational therapist, and now we have our Christ therapist. That is the exact word when it says cured many of their infirmities. That's the Greek word therapy. And it's Christ therapy. And Christ therapy will always cure the feebleness of mankind. And so when and where you feel feeble, you must resort to the resources of Christ within. Now, remarkably, as I said, it's built into the very fiber of Christianity. The very nature of Christ in you will carry you through any feebleness. And when you feel it won't, challenge the challenger. Because you have a greater power in you than that which is in the world. You've got a little more gumption to use than you might give yourself credit for. So challenge the challenger. Just fantastic. and turn to, I believe it's Luke 13. I can't read my writing. Let's try it, though. Yes, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, feebleness, 18 years. Ouch. Ew. 18 years? Oh my gosh, I'm glad my headache doesn't last that long. Wow, I thought I was going to be in debt, you know, for like a year, but not 18 years. Oh my gosh. Will this broken bone ever heal? Yeah, it only takes a few months. Okay. 18 years? And was bowed together and could in no way lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I don't know what you could say to that except glory, hallelujah. But there are some other things you could think. One of which is that all sicknesses are laid upon a person, which means they all can be removed off of that person. And so this is how you have to think when you're challenging the challenger, get off of me. This is how you have to think. Oh yeah, mankind is feeble. Certainly, we know that. Nobody's accepted. Just because you're going through what you're going through doesn't make somebody else better than you. Because every man gets the same measure of feebleness, so to speak. We're all in the same human stew. Well, that doesn't mean that other people aren't stronger than you when you're weak, when you're going through some pains or troubles. But whenever you are going through something, if you learn to go to God's Word, to challenge the challenger, realizing that the very fabric of Christianity will help you get through this stuff, because that's the nature of your new life, then you're going to make it. And then you picture this thing coming off of you. I have you saying things like, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I have you saying things like that for a reason. So that you can say more than that. I am healed. This is off of me. You can say any of those kind of things you want, but you've got to challenge the challenger and put it in the play. John chapter 5. Did you know that there was that spirit of feebleness? Yeah, he just kind of runs around kicking people in the knees, kicking people in the shins. Next time you get kicked in the shins, kick back. Don't just stand there and take it with a smile on your face thinking you're supposed to. Just because it comes your way doesn't mean it has to latch on and stay there. Okay? That's a misnomer in Christianity. Oh, I'll bear it. Oh, I'll put up with it. Oh, yeah, look at me, man. I've got like 300 of these things on my back now. No. Get them off. Paul didn't want them to stay on there. He flicked the old snake off his arm when it bit him, right? Flick that stuff off of you, too. That's how it works. Now, it's going to take time. If you get sick, yes, you got to get healed. You got to get your strength back sometimes. Yes, 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 yes. But after that, move again. John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. They have a naval school there now. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first at the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever soever disease he had. I'm not going to go into that section right now. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Man, he beat that 18 woman out by a long shot. Wow. And you thought getting through high school was tough. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Is that impotent or impotent? See, now impotent is a little different. My mom's over there just cracking up. Okay, let's not go down the impotent road. Impotent means he just really didn't have it. He couldn't walk. I guess it's kind of the same thing. Okay, wait, this isn't the Christian sex class, is it? Okay, forget that. All right, you guys, clean it up. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, isn't that fabulous? He had an infirmity, and that again means he was feeble. In verse 5, he was feeble. He just had a very serious case of feebleness. Romans chapter 8. Christians do have a role in helping people. And some of us take it more seriously than others, but we all have a responsibility. Verse 26 of chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. There's a Y on the end of that word. And it means feebleness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Speaking in tongues is perhaps the greatest weapon you have against your feebleness. You should be speaking in tongues like a house of fire. Speaking in tongues literally becomes your conveyor belt. It's like the power behind the conveyor belt. It's the power behind the lift that takes you out of feebleness and into strength. And God gave it to you to use for that. That's one of the things you can do with speaking in tongues. Every Christian ought to be speaking in tongues. It's an imperative. Speaking in tongues is something that you should rely on in your feebleness. When I'm sick, I speak in tongues. It just goes into gear. I just speak in tongues. It doesn't heal me instantly, but it carries me through that and gives me the strength as that it's designed to do. I'm not dead yet. I've made it through every sickness I've ever had. So have you. Every peril I've ever had. Every bad situation I've ever had. Whatever it was, whether it's from people or Satan or anything in between. If there is such a thing. I made it through. But so have you. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for. You sometimes don't even know what's going on. You just know things aren't right. Speak in tongues. It helps our feebleness. And chapter 15, Romans chapter 15. Even though some of us do it more than others, some of us do it less than others, it's still an imperative for Christianity. Verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. The idea here is that we're always building people up. We're never tearing people down. And we do that because we know that feebleness is inherent within the human race. It's part of man. But we have Christ. And yet, sometimes there are people in Christianity that are weaker than the others who are stronger in terms of that feebleness. And when you come across somebody that needs some help, needs some strength in that weakness. They could be sick, whatever these infirmities are that we've already talked about, then you can help them. You can bear. And this bear is just like we saw in Matthew chapter 8, where he took it. Christ took it. You take it. You take. So you can act in the stead of Christ today when somebody has an infirmity. You help them. Don't reject them. If they're hurting, help them. The strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You don't bear the weak, you bear the feebleness. In other words, give them strength at that time. Whatever it takes, whatever it is. And the idea then is to please others so that they can be edified. And then finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we already know many of the things that Paul went through. And we find then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, after Paul asked to have the thorn in the flesh removed from him, the messenger of Satan to buffet him 3 times, God said to him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, in feebleness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in feebleness, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, feeble, then am I strong. And that's the end of that chapter. There actually is, should be a chapter break there. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Grace is favor. God's favor on your life is more than sufficient for any situation in this life. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's no way God's strength is not going to be evident in the human being, because the human being is so frail and so weak. And that's what happens here. For my strength is made perfect. It's exactly what it was designed for. And when you've got Christ in you being fully manifested like this, you will have the strength that you need. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you are weak, there is a phenomena that takes place because you're a Christian, and it is that the power of Christ rests upon you. You don't even have to ask for it. That's what God does for you. It rests upon you. And Paul knew that. He had gone through so many ridiculously exaggerated persecutions and situations of a negative nature that he fully realized that the power of Christ did rest upon him in every one of those things. Well, the power of Christ will always rest upon you as well. Even if you're dying, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I can't stop that. I don't have control of that. I have control of some things, you do too. But even in the most dire of situations, that power of Christ rested upon Paul, and it will rest upon you. It rested upon him in deaths oft. Okay? And he got brought back from the dead. Maybe you will too, I don't know. But in the meantime, understand that you've got something mighty going for you. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. And you know, I tried to imagine what this really meant. I take pleasure in infirmity. Personally, I don't like infirmities. I'm going to be real honest with you. I really don't take any pleasure in them at all. And I was thinking, well, what in the world? And he lists him reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am feeble, then am I strong. And he's reflecting back to my strength is made perfect in feebleness. It's the fact of the matter. In other words, because in those situations the power of Christ rests upon you, it's the fact of the matter. It just happens. And that in itself is remarkable and wonderful. Any time that you could ever exemplify the greatness of Christ in you, you should. Well, sicknesses, infirmities are against your will and mine too, and I know that. Nonetheless, the power of Christ rests upon you in those situations. Now, it's always in you, but there's a resting that takes place where it's over you, it envelops you. That's really wonderful. And he was reflecting on that. He was reflecting on the fact that anything God does and gives through Christ in the feeble human body is magnificent. And it's always going to be magnified when it's compared to the human. Okay? And so we have tools. We have it available to us to be made strong in weaknesses. And to get through it. And so no matter what your situation is, no matter what your pain is, what your problems are, it doesn't matter. Learn to think God's word. Learn to meditate on God's word. Learn to talk. Find somebody that you can work these things out with. Understand that the very essence of life, and especially the essence of Christianity, carries you through these things. Challenge the challenger. Understand that you got a little bit more gumption than you give yourself credit for. Stand up against it. Know that it's the very nature of Christianity to take care of you because it's built in to Christ in you. Don't be afraid when things come your way. They come to everybody's way. It's a sad fact, but it happens. When you're strong and somebody else is more feeble than you, help them out. I wish I could say, no more sicknesses, everybody. And that's what these places try to do. And I don't agree with it. I don't know. It just seems strange to me because why would all this be in the Word like this? Paul didn't go around doing what these churches try to do where they just, it's like they try to make you think that if you ever get sick, then you should always be instantly healed. Now, you can get healed, I'm not saying that, but it's like the movies. You know, the movie star that runs for an hour and a half and never eats. But that's not real. That's not realistic. What's realistic is that when you do have something befall you, you're taken care of by the Word in Christ. And you can get ministered to. Okay? But think of all the time that Paul went through when he did that, when that stuff happened to him. And there were people around him that ministered to him too. I bet you if you thought, I don't know, a year? How much downtime did he have as a Christian? I don't know, 2 years? 3 or 4 years? How much time in prison? I mean, that's an interesting thing to study. I wish I had every day, all day long of my life to move the Word. But if I'm sick, I can't do it. You know, if I'm dealing with something, some infirmity, I can't do it. Neither can you. And so this becomes the challenge. And I think that by using Paul as a touchstone, we can relate and then get through things. Because now we understand the nature of mankind, that mankind is feeble. But with Christ, we have power over that. Power to get through. Yes, we're going to have infirmities, but power to get through each one of those and live to see another day. Okay? Love you.